Rashid said he talked to you, she said. I nodded. Didn't want to push. I appreciate that. Quite a bit, actually. She looked off to one side. Mouse, now that the work was done, came out of a shamelessly lazy doze he'd been holding in the doorway and trotted over to Lucio. He sat down and offered her his paw. She smiled quietly and took it. Then she ruffled the fur behind his ears with her fingers, the way she knew he liked, and stood up.
I wanted to be sure you were recovering.
That's very responsible of you, I said. She winced. Oh, damn it to hell, Dresden, she shook her head. I spent almost 200 years not getting close to anyone, for damn good reasons. As can be evidenced by what happened here.
Can it?
She shook her head.
I was distracted by you. By us, I suppose. Maybe if I hadn't been, I'd have seen something, noticed something, I don't know.
I kind of thought that you were distracted by the mind mage who had you twisted in knots. She grimaced.
They're separate things, and I know that. But at the same time, I don't know that. And here I'm talking like some flustered teenager.
She put her hands on her hips, her mouth set in annoyance.
I'm not good at this. Help.
Well, I said, I take it that you came here to let me know that you weren't going to keep pursuing whatever it is we had.
It's not because of you, she said.
I know, I said. Never was it? She exhaled through her nose, a slow sigh. Her eyes lingered on me.
I've always liked you, Dresden.
For a long time, I thought you were dangerous. Then I saw you in action against the heirs of Kemler, and I respected you. She smiled slightly.
You're funny. I like that.
But, I asked.
But someone pushed me toward you, she said, and that pisses me off. And
she started weeping, though her posture and her voice didn't waver.
And I thought that maybe I had broken through some kind of scar, or old wound, or something. That I had grown closer to you, and maybe would keep growing closer to you, and it made me feel,
she shook her head as her voice finally broke,
young. It made everything feel new.
I walked around the car to stand in front of her. I reached a hand toward her shoulder, but she raised hers in a gesture of denial.
But it was a lie. I'm not young, Harry. I'm not new. I've seen and done things that you can't understand. That I pray to God you'll never need to understand.
She took a deep breath.
This is ridiculous. I should be better at handling this.
What's wrong? I asked quietly. I mean, other than the obvious.
I got to have sex again, she snarled. And I liked it. I really liked it. I had forgotten exactly how mind-numbingly incredible sex is. And right now I'm having trouble forming complete sentences because I want to rip your shirt off and bite your shoulder while you're still sweating while you...
She broke off abruptly, her cheeks turning bright red.
You're not even 40.
I leaned against the car, looking at her, and started laughing quietly. She shook her head, scowling ferociously at me, her dark eyes bright.
How am I supposed to give you orders now, she asked, when you and I have done all the things we've done?
Well, what if I promised not to put the pictures on the internet? She blinked at me.
Pictures?
You are joking, Dresden, aren't you? I nodded.
Because I had quite enough of that during my first young adulthood, she said. Italy may not have had an internet back then, but you'd be shocked how quickly pictures can circulate, even when they're painted on canvas.
Anna, I said quietly. She bit her lip and looked at me. I reached out and took her hands. I squeezed them. Then I lifted them to my lips and kissed them each once, gently. Whatever the reason, I'm happy to remember the time we had. She blinked her eyes several times, looking up at me. I get it, I said. Things have changed. And maybe that time is over. But you'll be okay. And I'll be okay. You don't have to feel guilty about that.
She lifted my hands to her lips and kissed them, once each, just as I had, A tear fell on my knuckle. "I'm sorry," she said. "It'll be okay," I said. "It's okay." She nodded and looked up at me. I could see the calm, collected strength of the captain of the wardens, ready to assume its guiding role. I could see the uncertainty of Anastasia, who hadn't been close to anyone in a long time. And maybe I could see something lonely and sad that was part of who she had been when she was a young woman, well over a century before I was born. "Goodbye, Harry," she whispered. "Goodbye, Anna," I said. She squeezed my hands and turned to walk away. She stopped after half a dozen paces and looked back. "Dresden?" I looked at her. "Rashid doesn't talk much about the night Morgan died. I barely remember anything myself after Peabody said what he said." I knew what she was after. "He wasn't alone," I said. "I was with him. And he knew that he'd found the traitor. He was content." Something tight in her shoulders eased. "Thank you," she said. "Sure." Then she turned and strode purposefully away. I looked at the blood-stained mattress on the Blue Beetle and sighed. I didn't feel like driving it anywhere. It was early. I could wait a few hours. I turned to Mouse and said, "Come on, boy. I need a beer." We descended out of the summer heat into the relative cool of my basement apartment. Maybe I needed two.